going on, everybody?
What up, everyone?
Hey, what's going on? It's Nathan Payne.
I'm Corey Roysom.
Yeah, so we're just coming together to bring you guys a podcast. We wanted to start making some videos about our journey down wholesaling and real estate investing. Thought this would be useful information, and it's just fun to make. So we want to kind of let you know our journey.
Yeah, just want to help out and provide, you know, little tidbits of information that can help you guys in your wholesaling journey and, you know, yeah, help you guys reach your financial and goals and dreams.
Right. That's right. So this is brought to you by InvestorThrive.com. Check it out. Check out InvestorThrive.com. It's a business we're starting just to kind of lay out how real estate investors like ourselves and others can, thrive and progress. Get deals, hit their goals. Not only progress in real estate, but in their personal lives. That's kind of what we're going for. Because, you know, being successful in business for us is not just being good at real estate and, you know, talking to sellers and marketing and all that stuff, but it's like trying to get our lives right as well, you know?
Yeah, a full holistic approach to improving your life.
Yeah, so check it out, InvestorThrive.com. That's what this is. Podcast is brought to you by. So let's get into the meat of this thing, Corey. Let's get into the meat. And
so this is the first episode, so yeah. We want to start off, tell you guys a little bit about ourselves, how we got started, and then we'll kind of cover our first year of what we did that year.
Yeah, so we're actually going to break rolling. This one down into the first half of our first year, because it's pretty, there's a lot that went down, you know?
Yeah, a lot to cover.
So this will just be the first half, and then we'll make another podcast for the second half of the year. And then, you know, hopefully there'll be some good stuff for you guys to dissect on what not to do, and mostly what not to do. Right?
Mostly what not to do for the first year.
Yeah, it's funny talking about this because our first year was, looking back, it was fun, but we could have done way better.
A lot of lessons learned.
That's honestly why this is so important, is like you guys need to learn from our mistakes and things you shouldn't do, right? So that's kind of learn from what not to do. So yeah. Go ahead, Corey.
I guess I'll start. So I'm originally from Missouri. That's where I went to high school. I moved out to Idaho after a two-year mission for the church I belong to. Right. I went to Uruguay on my mission.
Uruguay.
Then I went to college in Idaho. That's actually where me and Nate met.
We might need to make a podcast about your times in Uruguay. You know, talk about that.
Maybe.
You had some crazy stuff happen there.
Some crazy stories, but we met in college, became friends. And then I got married right after college, moved down here. Started a job working at a tech company. While I was in school, I did some deals, made some good money my last year of college. Was able to kind of get my feet wet in real estate.
Right.
At the same time, you were out, you know, door knocking.
Yeah, I was doing door-to-door sales. If you guys
TV.
Know what that is, selling Dish Network door-to-door. Crazy.
So we kind of had a different path. And then I'll let Nate kind of introduce himself. Yeah. And then we can talk about how we kind of got started in this. But you know, I love sports. I like basketball a lot. I like playing golf, play soccer, enjoy hanging with friends, traveling, you know.
Right.
Normal stuff.
All around athlete. You like doing activities, you know.
Used to. Seems like anymore I don't do as much.
You're good
just had a kid. 2 months ago. So me and my wife have been married for 3 years, 4 years almost. Had our first kid, Tommy, 2 months old now.
Tommy.
Quite the journey. But yeah, I don't have as much time for sports anymore, especially since COVID hit.
That's
don't
right.
Do a lot of sports.
We used to play a little, the company team, we used to play a little soccer. That was fun. But anyway, so I'll go real quick. My name is Nathan Payne. Like I told you guys, I'm originally from a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, like Roswell, Marietta, Georgia, if you've heard of it. Grew up there, you know, after graduating from high school, went on a mission. Like Corey did, I went to Portland, Oregon. And 2 years after that, went to school at BYU, Idaho, where we met up. And that's kind of where we crossed paths. And I, in school, started to do door-to-door sales. Door-to-door sales was like a big thing where I went to school, where people would sell pest control, solar, I mean, whatever. And I decided to do dish network and cable. Just that's how I fell on. That's who I got recruited to do. So did that. And while I was doing that, Corey was doing real estate. And I'd always be like, Corey, come sell with me. And, you know, he'd be like, nah, I ain't trying to knock doors. That sucks. And it did suck, but it was good money at the time. It still is good money if you are in door-to-door. But so after college, I got married, did a little door-to-door still, and that's kind of how we got, the story continues, is I reached out to Corey. I was just got married. I didn't want to do the traveling thing, so I reached out to Corey, said, hey, man, what are you doing for work? He told me he was working at a tech company, and I was like, well, you know, it's still good money in door-to-door. Maybe we could start like a team here locally in Utah. So what we did is I told him, hey, Sprint, Dish merged kind of with Sprint, and we started selling cell phone packages to people, and that was like a really good program. They had like a super good deal, so we started trying to sell. But before I kind of go in more into, you know, that, let me just kind of explain, like, things I like to do. I'm married, so I like to hang out with my wife, like to ski, like to work out, I like to be active. I mean, but nothing crazy. There's nothing
big into the outdoors recently.
Got big into the outdoors recently. Yeah, I've been going to national parks. Those are freaking fun. Yellowstone, Grand Tetons. You know, we're from Utah, so there's a ton of national parks here. Moab, Zion's is fun. So if you haven't checked out national parks, check that out.
Spots.
Yeah, camping. So anyway, going back into like how we got started, I tried to get Corey. I was like, yo, Corey, forget your job at the tech company. Let's start a team door knocking where we can sell Sprint, and part time we'll do real estate.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's do it on the side while we build this giant team that is going to, you know, produce a lot of accounts for us, and, you know, we'll be able to kind of do it on the side, get started while we have, you know, revenue and income coming in from the sales, the door-to-door sales. So we got a couple guys, we recruited three guys.
Yeah.
Over a period of time. And the dude, long story short,
it was hard for them.
Yeah, they didn't sell a lot. So
door-to-door is pretty, it's kind of difficult.
It's tough.
Yeah,
like,
it's tough.
They just didn't deal well with the rejection. So from there, we, that was kind of like February, I think. We did that for a couple months. It was cold outside too. Like, we weren't trying to be out knocking every day.
Yeah.
It was cold outside.
And eventually we would just tell them to go knock. And then we were trying to start this wholesaling thing. And then they were like, yo, forget you guys. You're not knocking. We're not going to knock. And so we were just like, hey guys, just wrap it up. Like, it's not working out. Just call it. Yeah.
So then, about May-ish, we started working out of our houses, wholesaling, trying to get started. I don't know how we got lists or what we did, but we would get call for sale by owners, call random lists that we got.
Sale by owners, right? And mind you,
we'd be calling with our phone, dialing.
Gosh, yeah, well, like one by one, and we'd be texting people one by one, and we were just trying to get a deal, you know? And mind you, we started with $0, right? Like, we didn't, our wives were like, yeah, sure, go into this, but you're not going to take any of our money.
I don't think we wanted to put any money in either, because we didn't know what we were doing. So it's hard to put money into something that you don't really know anything about.
And by the way, our wives are extremely supportive of us. So like, that's huge to strive and try to accomplish like an entrepreneurial adventure.
Yeah, the first person you got to sell the dream or the vision to is your spouse, if you have one. So
yeah, and I sold it. I sold my wife on it because I was like, hey, Corey did it in college and his dad knows has been doing this. So like, there's a lot of, you know, opportunity in here. That was like the extent of what I knew. I was like, oh, Corey did it and his dad makes a lot of money doing it.
Yeah. So we got started. We didn't get any deals probably the first couple of weeks. I don't even know if we went on an appointment or talked to anybody.
When we first
started,
we were making like 10 calls a day. We would basically plan out like how we were going to market, or we would just talk. And then the last like hour of the day, we would make a couple dials and get rejected.
So we didn't feel bad.
And it was tough, man. Like, it was tough to get into it. I don't know why, but you know, maybe because we didn't have any direction.
It's just tough not knowing what to do, or knowing if like the actions you take are going to amount to anything. I think that's the thing. Doing this, is it going to bring me anything?
Yeah. So we didn't really know what we were doing other than we would text, send some emails and to like to, for sale by owners. But then you wanted to kind of explain how we got with the broker.
Then, yeah. Then I made a post. We're like, you know what? We need to get serious. We need to get an office, go work somewhere, like get serious about this. So we made a Facebook post. I think we probably both made one.
Yeah, we were trying to reach out and network.
Kid, that I knew from my mission reached out to me and tagged me, and a guy that works at the office tagged a guy in my post. He reached out to me. And he's like, yeah, come in. We're looking at getting into wholesaling, like him and his broker. So we went in, we met with him, and he's like, yeah, you can work out of here. You know,
yeah.
Got a bunch of desks. It'll help the energy. It'll bring up you know, the spirit in the environment, the culture. So we went in there. We started working there.
Yeah, don't forget, he was like, I just had a dream about wholesaling.
Right, yeah.
I just had a dream about this. Like, he, like we, like this was this divinely inspired or something.
Yeah, like we were a part of his answer to his prayers. But he provided a cold caller, a cold calling system called Mojo for us.
We didn't know anything about this.
We had never heard of, didn't know about. He provided us with some lists.
Expired listings, like easy lists, I guess, to get a hold of that we had no idea about.
You know, the phone book, we could call neighborhoods.
Yeah, like this, a service that you would just like target a radius and it would
target
pull
like
everybody.
A zip code or something.
So we were, me and Corey, that's when we started getting major cold calling. We were just dialing.
We would call for at least 2 hours a day, I think.
I think it was like
more.
Four. I think we were doing four until that was a lot.
That was too much. But yeah, we were calling, so we this was about May or so.
Yeah.
When we started working at his office. And so we were calling for a couple months, and then we finally got our first deal.
Yeah, we finally found somebody that was interested from
cold
calling.
We're calling the phone book, we're calling these lists. And we're calling all these people, and we finally get someone who's interested. You know, his house was in Salt Lake.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He was from Croatia. He was from the expired listings list. So he had recently tried to list his home, and it was like $200,000, and it didn't move. So we had
also on the foreclosure list.
He was on the foreclosure list. Yeah. So he didn't get the price he wanted because he had the commission of the agent involved and everything. So he was like, oh, no, I'm not selling it. So he just decided to just wait it out. I think he was just willing to lose his house or something like that. But Corey, you got a hold of him. And it was crazy. Like, we went over there. This was our first deal. We had no idea what we were doing. And we
was that the first appointment we went on?
That might have been the first
appointment
we went on.
Sure we did.
Yeah, so we went over there, and he was just like, no job, then didn't care, was trying to get back to Croatia, and like we had to figure out like how to work with him. Like, and I don't know how we negotiated or anything, but we finally agreed on like a price at like 175 or 180, right?
185.
And it was a good deal looking back. We just didn't know. You know, we didn't have the buyers at that time to know like it was a deal, but
we went over there probably half a dozen to a dozen times trying to work out a deal and get
it's not like
up.
We got it the first time either, like we had to go there a couple times,
and he did work it pretty hard,
and he wouldn't answer his phone, so like we would just go over there and just try to catch him just show up and be, you know, he'd be on his couch just sleeping, and we'd be like, hey,
rolling.
Are we getting this done? Like, do you want to just, you know, not sell your house? So anyway, he was in pre-foreclosure, and we got it under contract, and we were so nervous to send buyers over there. We were like so nervous. Like, we thought they would just talk to the seller. The end buyer would be like, hey, forget these guys. Like, let's just work together. So we were
go behind our back.
Yeah. And what happened is like, we didn't know how to sell our deal. So the broker we're working with, he's like, yeah, let's just blast this to all the agents in Utah. And that was a bad idea because a bunch of agents were like, yeah, we want it. But they didn't know that they needed a cash buyer. They were just trying to bring like their clients that had, you know, conventional funding. And that wasn't what we needed.
Bunch of work for nothing.
So what happened then? I think we
had a couple showings, and we would have the seller leave during the showings.
We'd
just
like,
to like, we're not risking it. Like, take your dog somewhere.
Take your dogs to the dog park, and he'd leave for like 30 minutes, and we'd try to rush people.
Yeah, we'd try to get people through. He'd be texting me, "Can I come back yet?" Be like, "Not yet." And then eventually, I think we did that like two or three times where we showed it to you know, a couple people each time. We ended up finally finding a buyer.
In
for 185. So I think we got him back down to 180.
So what had originally happened was, like, we were at his house and we're like, "Hey man, we're gonna need this for lower." And we saw like all these postcards from other buyers on his table. And he told us, he's like, "Dude, I mean, I want to go with you guys." The other day, this guy came into my house and he threw down like 80
stacks of bills.
He said this guy came to his house
with just hard cold cash
and was like, "How much do you want for the house?" And he said something like, "I want to make $40,000." So the guy went to the bank, got like $40,000 of cash and threw it on his table and was like, will you take this? And obviously, like, he had a mortgage. So it's not like you can just give him 40 grand and he just can have the house. He would still have to pay off the mortgage. So I don't know what that buyer, he didn't know what he was doing.
I don't know what he was doing.
But he told us that someone had threw cold hard, like 40K of bills down.
Actual cash.
And he was telling us that I wanted to stay with you guys. And I don't know if I believe that happened.
I was trying to get us to not come down because I think we knew.
But anyway, he accepted it. We ended up assigning it, and that one was
$5K
was our first deal.
July.
Yeah, and
so it took us about a month and a half, 2 months to get our first
deal. So, you know, that was our first deal. Went well. I mean, as well as it could for being brand new. And then we kind of went on a drought for like a couple months after that. We were still calling.
I think we went all the way till like October.
Yeah, but in the meantime, like, between calling, like, me and you, we started to go knock because we were like, "Well, you know what? I know how to knock. Like, you know, that's something I did. Let's go knock doors."
They couldn't get out of the knocking mentality.
Well, so we ended up knocking this door, like this neighborhood, and that's where we found.
We're also carrying flyers with us, so when they didn't answer, we would
leave a flyer. That's something that the broker we went with. He was like big on
flyers. The broker was huge into flyers.
Yeah,
swore by it, which did work out.
So we ended up knocking on this lady's door. This is a crazy, crazy one that we'll go deeper into at the end of the podcast.
We'll get into that later.
But basically what had happened is I knocked on her door. Like, this guy that looked like all methed out answered the door and was like, I was like, "Hey, we're looking to buy a house in the neighborhood. Are you selling?" He says, "My grandma might." And I was like, "Was she here?" And he's like, "Nah." And I was like, "Can I have her number?" So he gave me her number, and I ended up calling her, setting up an appointment for you to go. You went over there and got it under contract for like $215, and we thought it was a deal. But
it was a killer deal.
We thought it was a killer deal, but what happened, she didn't have a basement, so it wasn't really worth $215. So, Corey, you ended up getting under contract, and
we're stoked too, right?
Because we were stoked.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of contracts at this time. We'd only gotten the first seller then also, you know, the next person, right?
Yeah, so what ended up happening with this is you got under contract, then you had to go back and try to renegotiate like 2 days later and say, "Hey, I'm really sorry. I did my numbers wrong. I actually need this thing for like 180, right? And what had happened is she was like tearing up when you did that, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was 2 days after. It's probably a little while because we'd probably tried to sell it first.
I don't know. I remember.
I don't remember the exact timeline.
Yeah. But she was so sad because after you had told her that you were going to buy her house, she started packing up. And I think like what had happened is you told her you couldn't do it. And then she felt bad because she had packed like 3 boxes up. You know, she was so mad. So that one, like we tried to save it and renegotiate, but it didn't work. But this one, we'll come back later to that.
Yeah.
That
so deal. After we tried to renegotiate, we were basically like, and she was like, "Nah." We're basically like, "All right, bump it. But we'll continue the story."
Yeah, because it's not over. But just know that that's kind of how it happened.
Not over.
That one gets a little wild.
So yeah. So after that, we're struggling. So we're like, "All right, we need some help.
We need a mentor.
Yeah, like, we need a coach. We need a mentor."
He was new to wholesaling.
Broker was
too.
Only more experienced in real estate because he's, you know, a broker, but didn't have the wholesaling expertise.
Right.
We brought in a coach, Alex Youngblood.
Shout out, Yog's young buddy helped us out.
Yeah, helped us out a lot. So we did his coaching, and you know, he gave us some tweaks to get another good deal.
Yeah. So he told us in his training, he said, hit up the unknown equity list on mailers. You know, pull that list wherever you are, unknown equity, and send them mailers. So we spent about $5,000 or $8,000 sending out mailers. I don't know how we paid for it. I think the broker actually was willing to go in on it with us.
Yeah, the broker. So I think at that point we had teamed up with the broker and partnered up with him.
Yeah.
So we were splitting it three ways. So him, Nate, and me splitting the business three ways. So he agreed to put money into it. I think he agreed to put like $5,000 into it. So we spent that on mailers and flyers.
Right. And I even think you
tried. We had hired people to.
Too. Yeah, we had, you tried that.
Yeah, I did. We had hired people to go out and flyer.
Right. So let's go into that one, how we got that deal on the mailers. So unknown equity. You know more about that one because you were kind of doing that.
Yeah, I think you had kind of started doing like lead management doing acquisitions. And so me and the broker would go to this guy's house, the seller.
Crazy.
He was a crazy guy, man. He had some drug problems. He had inherited this house, and because it was an inherited house, he had tons of mail. Like tons of people had been hitting him up about the house. And so one of the first appointments, we went there probably like 6 or 7 times.
You guys were
just
hanging
trying
out.
To like work out the deal with him. We knew he was super motivated. Like he's like, man, I need money ASAP. Like right. I need it. Like super motivated, super like almost desperate for money. And so we went there like 6 or 7 times. And one of the first times I was there, like he had all these postcards and mail.
A sneaky one, bro.
And I was like, do you want these? Like, I might want to like check these out for like our marketing purposes. Can I take these? And so I took these, all his mail so he couldn't call him.
Yeah, that was a smart move. Especially if you check with him. Like if he's like, nah, I'm working with you guys. Just take those other buyers.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't risking losing the deal because he calls someone else and they offer him a little bit more.
Right, right.
Plus, he liked us a lot. Like, we built a lot of good rapport with him. You know, we had been there, cared about his situation, you know, tried to help him out. So,
right.
We eventually got it under contract.
Killer deal.
Yeah, really good deal. And once we got it under contract, like, we gave him some money to get groceries. We gave him some money to basically make it to the closing.
Right.
So we worked out a really good like seller finance deal with like principal only payments, no interest, with like $100,000 down at closing. It's a really, really good deal.
I think looking back, maybe we could make like $200,000 on it or something, $150,000.
Probably well over $100,000, probably like $100,000.
But we were new and the broker, I mean,
yeah, so we ended up selling it to this broker.
We ended up selling to the broker
for him to flip. I'm sure he made a killing on it.
We made $28,000.
$28,000.
But so, I mean, it was, you live and you learn, right? Like that was a fat deal. Well,
the funny thing is me and Nate were like, this was a big deal at the time because we had done the $5,000 deal and no deals since then.
Oh yeah, we needed that
so
money.
We were like, this is huge, like $28,000.
Oh, we thought that was a giant amount of money.
And so, we were like, we have to make this happen. And during like the time where like we're waiting to closing, the seller kept texting me random stuff. He'd call me all the time. And I was like, man, I can't deal with this anymore. So one time he like threatened to kill me. You know, just crazy stuff.
He was super hot and cold. So the deal didn't get funded like the day it closed because it takes sometimes to the next day. And he called Corey like, I'm going to kill you, dude.
I blocked his number.
He literally was threatening to kill you. And yeah. I was like, man, this is getting wild. This is what the path Nate, we've chosen.
Me and Nate picked him up to take him to the closing because we're like, we have to make this happen.
We have to make this happen. He brought his girlfriend with him and he was on the way drive there. He was going nuts. He was like telling stories about how he used to like hook up with
bouncer.
All these bouncer and beat up people and like hook up with chicks nonstop. And I was like, wow, this guy's crazy. Now, another thing is we actually tried to sell this same deal to the buyer that bought our first deal we did for $5,000. But he knew it was a good deal. But he's like, He told us we needed to pay our dues, and we were trying to make
earn our stripes.
He said, you guys are trying to make way too much money on this deal. You need to pay your dues.
I think we were trying to make like 50 on it.
Yeah, and he was like, no, I ain't paying you that, even though it was a sick deal. So,
killer deal.
You guys need to know, the more buyers you have, the more money you're going to make.
Yeah, we're still in a position where we struggled to have good buyers, so we didn't really get like a lot of interest in it, because we only blasted out to probably 10 people.
Yeah, so
which isn't going to get you anything.
You got to get more buyers. I mean, that's if you can learn one thing from this podcast, this episode or whatever, get some buyers. That's why we can sell so many of our deals now. We can find buyers. Now, that's how we got that deal with him for $28,000.
Was unknown equity. Unknown equity. Postcard.
Now, that kind of held us over. We had that deal, then we had the $28,000. Now we had some wiggle room, right?
Yeah, and at the same time, we had hired some flyer guys with this $5,000 the broker gave us.
That's right.
So
now we kind of want to tell you a little bit about
flyering. I think the first flyer guy we hired like way before this deal started, probably towards the end of summer, right? Because he got roasted that one day.
Who are you talking?
Flyer kid.
You're talking about
our ponytail.
Yeah,
pony boy.
Yeah, so
I'll let you tell that story.
All right, so what happened is we were like, the broker was big on flyers, like actually writing out handwritten letters and putting them on people's doors. So we're like, okay, let's do it. So we ended up putting out some Facebook advertisements on like Indeed and Facebook Marketplace to hire people to flyer. And we would pay them 6 cents a flyer because we thought you could hand out like 100, 150 flyers an hour.
200.
So we were pitching it as like 12 bucks an hour, right? So a bunch of people were pumped about it. They're like, yeah, I can get paid to exercise and go flyer. Why not? So we started getting a lot of people that were interested, right? And we would have droves of people like coming in to the office, picking up the flyers, and they would never come back. They'd be like,
yeah, or they'd come back the next day and be like, I'm done.
They'd be like, forget this. And we had a watch that was like a Garmin that would track like if you even went to the doors. Most people would, but they would go and they do it and they say, hey,
exact route.
Because I think you would end up you were making 6 cents a flyer. I think you could actually do maybe like 70 or 100 an hour. So you're making like, yeah, like
really fast.
But we ended up getting this guy before we really found out that it wasn't that you couldn't get paid that much. We hired this guy. We'll just call him Rob, right? So we'll call him Rob. So when we hired him, basically what happened is like, you know, this tall, lanky kid comes in. He's just like, I love walking. It's like my favorite thing to do. And I'm like, wow, well, we got the job
perfect
for you.
Fit.
It's a perfect fit. He had these giant combat. He was a pretty tall kid. He had these giant black combat boots. Looked like he had walked a hole through them. Like he did like to walk. And so he went out. We gave him like 1,000 flyers. And we're like, all right, man, get to work. And we gave him an area, gave him the watch. And he went out and he knocked for 8 hours the first day. And I got a text, I think, later after that, the next day. And he's like, guys, I didn't put on any sunscreen and I'm like a lobster right now. I can't even move. I won't be able to come to work today.
I think so, he was wearing like a tank top, wasn't he?
He was wearing like a tank top or something. And he just was cruising down the streets. He got torched up. Like it was hot. It was midsummer. So he's like, I can't work. Like I can't even move. So for like 3 days, he was out of commission, right? We're like, well, okay, well, and then like 3 days later, he comes back to work to pick up, you know, some more flyers. And he's like, he's strapped. He's got like, you know, the sunscreen. He's got like fully clothed.
Long sleeve shirt, pants. He's got like the bucket hat with like the cape in the back.
He was ready. All right, we're like, all right, let's get it, man. Go out there today. And he started flying. He was doing well. He'd flyer. He'd knock it out. He'd check the Garmin watch.
Probably like 6 to 8 hours a day, just like
full time.
Yeah, like crazy amounts.
And we were getting calls. We were getting calls from the flyers. We'd get calls and people would be like, quit leaving flyers on my door. Some people would be like, yeah, I'm interested. So we knew he was doing work, right?
Yeah.
So a week or two goes by. I kind of stopped checking the watch because I trust the guy. That's kind of one of the downfalls, I guess, in running a business, just trusting people and not verifying. That's kind of one thing I've learned too is don't ever just trust that someone's doing their job. You should check, you know, with KPIs, which, you know, just verify.
Tracking.
So I stopped tracking it and looking at his watch. And I think eventually he didn't even wear, No, he was kept wearing the watch. I just didn't check. I was doing other things.
He was wearing it. It was a requirement.
So what ended up happening is we started getting less and less calls, you know? And I was like, this is kind of weird. Like,
you usually even get people texting in or calling in upset, like, quit leaving flyers on my door. But we were getting like nothing.
Right. So
completely stopped.
So I'd ask him, and I don't know why I didn't just check, but I'd ask him, like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, why aren't we're not getting as many calls. Like, are you slowing down a little bit? He's like, nah, dude, I'm doing the same speed. I'm doing it. And I was like, okay. But I got a hunch, you know, like one day. And I was like, Corey, let's go to the area that we assigned him. And let's.
Before that, though, I think we checked the watch, right?
Oh, did we check? Okay, yeah, we did check.
Checked, and we had seen, right, like, right. We saw, like, completely straight lines. Because normally it, like, zigzags into the house,
or to back the door, out. Yeah.
Then, you know, a straight line down the sidewalk, zigzag into the house, and it goes like that. Well, now we're seeing straight lines.
So I was thinking that maybe someone's wrong with the watch. I was like, yeah, I don't want to come at the guy without verifying, right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
It was just straight lines on the sidewalk. So what ended up happening was said, let's go check on this guy. So we went to the area. We actually have a video that we'll include in the link. We actually found him just walking on the sidewalk for hours. Like, yes. we didn't follow him for hours, but we knew he would literally just go out there for like 9 o'clock, walk till like 5 o'clock, just on the sidewalk without putting a friggin' flyer on there. And we got a video. We'll put it in the link if you guys want to see. It's pretty funny. You'll see like the tall, lanky kid, you know, with blonde ponytail.
Yeah, I think he must have got yelled at a couple times, I'm guessing.
I don't know what happened. But he was willing to do the walking.
He got bit by a dog, or I don't know. He didn't want to keep going up to the door.
He was willing to do the walking. But
not that much more work to go 15 feet up to the door.
He could have left it on the fence or something. But what ended up happening is after that, I was like, he's like, can you pay me? Like, he asked for us to pay him that day. And I said, come to the office. We'll pay you in cash this time. Because you should just Venmo him, right? So he wouldn't have to come in the office unless he needed like flyers or tape. And so we're like, hey, just come in. We want to kind of chat with you. And you know when you can feel energy, right? Like, he felt something was going on. I knew something. Like, I felt that vibe. And he was kind of hesitant to come in. But he's like,
he knew he was going to get roasted.
So he came into the office. Hey, I'm a nice guy. So, hey, Rob, come in here. And he came in. And I said, hey, man, I'm really kind of confused. You know, we haven't been getting any calls. Like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, man. I've been flying, doing my job. And I said, that's kind of weird. Because
Kelly started. I was like, Nate was talking to him, and I was watching.
He started.
Rob was getting a little nervous.
And by the way, I don't like confrontation, but I'm not afraid of it. So I kind of like look forward to situations where I can call someone out. I don't know why. I just enjoy it. So I said, hey, Rob, we drove by your area. We didn't see any flyers on the door. What happened? Yeah, trying to give him a way to just admit that he's lying. I wanted
let him
to
confess.
I don't want to just say, hey, you're a liar. I want him to say, hey, guys, I'm sorry.
Confess his sins.
Yeah, like just, hey, guys, or whatever happened. So basically, I was like, listen, we drove by the area. The flyers were on the door. What happened? He's like, they must have blown off. He said they must have blown off the doors.
All of them?
All of them? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I don't know. I said, okay, Rob, we drove by. We followed you. We saw you just walking in a straight line. We know you're not doing it. And then he broke down. He's like, I'm sorry, guys. I haven't been doing it. I'm like, how long have you not been doing it? He's like, probably a couple week or two or whatever. It's been a while.
You've been throwing the flyers away.
Yeah, I'm like, well, can we get the flyers? And he's like, I threw them away. And I'm like, come on, man.
Don't throw them away.
And I didn't even have to fire him, bro. He just knew it was over. I was just like, this isn't going to work out. I might have fired him. I don't remember. But
I know we told him we're not going to pay you for what we owed you.
I mean, we
didn't owe him anything because he didn't do the job.
Yeah, we should have said, hey, you're going to send him a Venmo request or something.
Said, hey, why don't you pay us back?
But anyway, so that happened with the flyering. And honestly, flyering worked good. We actually ended up getting another deal from Flyers. But it was from, we had continued with other people and decided to pay them more. It was like 12 cents or 20 cents of a drop at this time. But yeah, so Rob was a funny experience. Again, guys, if you're going to run a business, verify. You can't just trust people. So that happened. And then we ended up upping up how much we were willing to pay people. And we ended up getting a good, I think it was like an 18K $18,000 deal from Flyers.
17.5.
This deal was funny because
it was in Midvale.
Midvale, yeah. So this deal was interesting. So we had gotten the flyer. I got a call. I answered the call on Saturday, and she said, "Hey, some buyers are going to come through on Monday. Do you want to see the house?" So me and Corey were the first ones to go on Monday, and we saw the house. It was going to be somewhere you're interested in. And I said, "Hey, I know you got some other people coming today. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot and give my offer yet. Do you mind if we make the last offer?" And she's like, "Yeah, sure. I'll let the other people come, and then if you can beat their offers, great. We're looking for the most money we can." So later that day, we drove to their house, met with them in their couch, like in their living room. And she's like, "Yeah, none of the other people stopped by." And I was like, "Oh, great. Well, I mean, are you guys ready to make a decision? Like, are you ready to sell?" And they're like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well," and I think I was like, "Well, what do you want?" And they're like, "Well, around 180. What are you guys offering?" And this is when we were not good at negotiating at all. We were just—
this was for our third deal.
This is our third deal. We were shaking because we need, like, when
this might have even been like negotiated before we even closed, probably.
What do you mean?
Like, we probably hadn't gone to the title company and closed and got paid from—
Probably not, right? The other ones are probably still like working. So we wanted this one, right? So she's like, 180 is kind of what I want. And then I looked at you because you had more experience this time. And they're like, "What do you offer?"
I was feeling the pressure. I was like, "No, I got to make a decision. I don't want to make a decision."
But he did.
But then I was like, "We'll pay 186. So I'm sure we could have got away with like 181.
Gosh, dude, you probably could have gotten away with 180. But they were just looked at each other and like, "Are you sure?" Kind of like, "Okay." And we're like, "Yeah, sign." So we were just like, bam, got it. Because we knew it was a deal. Anyway, that one was kind of because our buyers, again, were weak. That one took a while to sell, but we ended up selling it for like 205 or something like that.
17 and a half, I think.
So that was interesting. So that came from Flyers. And then we ended up getting another deal soon after from cold calling. I was calling the absentee owner list, and I ended up getting a guy who was like, "I want 175. I looked on Zillow. The Zillow estimate was like 235. And I was like, "Okay, so if I get you 175, is it, we got a deal?" He's like, "Sure." So we ended up going to his house. Corey again negotiated it.
He tried to negotiate lower.
This time we learned from our mistake. So the guy's like, "I want 175. And Corey's like, "Can you do 170? And the guy's like, "No." And we're like, "Okay, well." He's like, "No." We're like, 175?
Then we did sell at 175.
He's like, "Okay, fine."
He wasn't like super motivated. He's kind of like, "I'll sell right number."
Right. And now, by the way, absentee owner list, money. We've gotten tons of deals from the absentee owner list. So use it. Landlords all the time want to get rid of their properties. I mean, he was just tired of it, right?
I think we bought it with sold it to brothers that bought it with the tenant inside,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they just wanted to keep it as a rental, which is probably great. That property's great, probably gone up a ton. It was a good rental. It had like
Convenient for the seller. Good deal for the, you know,
Buyers. Yeah, so that was cool. So
I think we made 22 off that.
Yeah, we made a good amount on that one. And I don't think we could have probably pushed that one higher because we ended up selling it to buy and hold investors, which we got lucky for. So kind of just kind of wrapping up this this part of the first half of the year, just want to kind of go. We actually ended up getting a deal that we're going to talk about later in the next episode from a guy that was in pre-foreclosure, but that ended up closing at the end of the year. So that one's, we're going to go deeper into that one next episode.
House a bunch.
We loved going to people's houses. We don't go to anyone's houses now. I mean, maybe sometimes, but really? It's all virtual. So we close over the phone.
We also ended up hiring cold callers.
Which we'll talk about more.
Which we'll talk about next.
Yeah, we hired some of our buddies from college, paid them $15 an hour. Don't do that. We'll talk about that more. That's too much for cold callers. But what we kind of want to end this episode on is the deal with, we're going to go full circle on this one.
Door knocking deal. So the lady that Nate talked to, that he knocked the door, talked to the grandson.
The grandson. We'll call her Ronnie. Is that a girl's name? Ronnie? Yeah. We'll call her Ronnie. So that, okay, fine. We'll change it to
Bonnie.
All right, Bonnie. That's better. So not Ronnie. So Bonnie, this is crazy, man. So Corey, I remember, like, at this time, we started kind of trying to get more into the sales training, and, like, he told me about a guy named John Martinez.
Did we have his training yet?
I don't think we had the training yet, but you started telling me about, like, sales, and I've done sales with, like, door-to-door. This is kind of this is a completely different beast. This is, like, trying to find... Consulting. This is consulting. So, one day, Corey was telling me, like, Nate, we're only going to get better at this business when we start caring about people. We actually start caring about their situation and
sounds kind of corny, but it's
sounds corny, but I was more thinking about the dollar signs. I'm not like a greedy person, but I was like trying to make money, right? But then Corey was like, look, Nate, we got to start caring about their situations. So I looked at him and I was like, remember Bonnie? He's like, yeah, I remember Bonnie from a couple months ago. I'm like, remember how we, you know, she was pretty upset because we tried to renegotiate with her. I bet she hasn't sold yet and she probably still. So what Bonnie's situation was, she retired. She was on Social Security. She was getting like $1,000 or $2,000 a month, and her mortgage payment was about that. And she had her like 40-year-old son, not 40-year-old son, and her like 45-year-old daughter living, mooching off of them, and the grandson. So
not working.
Nobody wanted to work in that house. So I thought about them, like, you know what? I actually care about her situation and her. I care about Bonnie. She's got a crappy situation. She's got all these people mooching off her, and she's does not make enough money to make rent and or her mortgage payment. She needs our help, right? So Corey,
it sucked because her mortgage payment was so low.
Dude, it was so low.
And none of them were working, and she was the only one collecting.
Yeah, it was. They were just leeching.
Paying for their food, paying for their rent.
Mooching off of her. So, Corey, remember what happened? You didn't want to go back over there because she had given you the rap.
She was so mad at me. I was like, I'm not trying to talk to her.
I said, hey, man, why don't you practice? Let's practice what you're preaching. Let's care about this lady. So I got in my car. He got in the passenger seat. We drove over there. And I said, all right, let's go knock on her door and talk to her. He's like, nah, I'm going to stay in the car. So I go up to the door and I knock on the door.
I said, like, hey. Talk to her first, see if she wants to talk to us.
Yeah.
Then I'll come in.
So I knock on the door and with like conviction in my eyes, I say, Bonnie, we talked to you a couple months ago. We were interested in buying the house. We still are, but sorry. We're really sorry we got our numbers wrong, but we still want to buy the house. And she was like, get the bump out of here. Get out of my porch. And I kind of walked away with my tail between my legs. And I was like, dang, this is not working. Like caring about people. But I was like, whatever, I try my best. And right before I get to my car, she pokes her head out that door and she waves me back in. I'm like, dude, she's about to rock me. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen, but something's about to happen. So I walk back up to the door and she's like, come inside. And I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen, but all right, we'll see. So she points, I go inside, Corey's still in the car, and she goes inside and she points to three boxes, like three little boxes. And she says, you see those? And I'm like, yeah, those boxes. She says, when you guys said you were going to buy my house, I started packing up my whole house. And those are the boxes that I have from when you said you'd buy my house. You know how hard it was? And it was like 3 days, dude. And there was three boxes. And she's like, that's what you guys made me do. And I just apologized. I said, look, you know what? I must have been really tough to pack those. And I'm sorry, but can we make it up to you? Can we work it out? She's like, yeah, I still want to sell. I get Corey, comes in the house, and we literally met with her maybe four or five times until we finally agreed on. I remember I came back to her like one time, and I negotiated the deal. I basically said, listen, Bonnie, I know, you know, you're holistic, you're a spiritual person. Like, how much money do you really need from the sale of this house to move on to, you know, Southern Utah and have enough money to live? She's like, I think I'll be alive for 5 more years. So I think I need like $30,000 a year or something like that. So I want blank. So she gave me this price and she owed this much on her house. I said, look, if we bought it at this price, it was like analytical. I was like, if we buy it at this price, it's still a deal for us and you still get what you want, Bonnie. And she was like, okay. So we signed the paperwork And it was like a roller coaster from that point. But
it wasn't like a done deal at that
point. No, because she had to find a place to go move. So we had connected her with an agent in Southern Utah to find her place. She was like, you know,
getting cold feet all the time, like questioning it.
And then we did end up getting John Martinez's training, because then you came over to her and we sat down with her 4-year-old son, Ronald or Ray or whatever, and Judy. And they were all sitting in this house in the living room, and the dog was all yapping, and it was just, you know, paper stacked to the ceiling hoarder. It was crazy. And Corey, what line did you hit her with to get her to finally make the move? You remember?
I don't remember the exact line, but I'm pretty sure John called it like the magic question.
Yeah, dude, you hit it with her. And
basically, like, I was talking about like everyone's scared to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
bridging the gap. That was the you were talking about,
like,
that.
It's hard. It's hard to make the decision to bridge the gap from where you are to where you want to go.
Yep.
And if you don't do it now, like, you'll never.
And I remember
somehow I said it more eloquently than that.
And she just like a light. And then Ronald or Ray, like her son, the 4-year-old son that was just chilling in the playing video games all the time. He looked at his mom. He's like, "Mom, he asked you a question. Are you going to bridge the gap?" And it was just, dude, he had our back at that time. We're like, "Let's go, Ray." Anyway, so she's like, "Okay, fine." And then after that, it just things changed. And then she found a house, and it was at the end of the year. And this is where we're going to wrap it up. But this is where the story gets really crazy. So we buy the house. We sell it to an investor. And she was a hoarder, right? So we told her a part of like how we were going to get her moved, like part of the deal was we'll move you.
We also told her like she had time.
Yeah,
wasn't a big, like, to us in our mind, it's like, it ain't a big deal. Like, we hadn't been pressured to get someone out of the house
like
to
that.
This point yet.
Yeah, and
the buyer that we sold the deal to, he was breathing down my neck.
He was like, "You better get her out."
Like, showing up, like, calling me.
And then he was like, "You need to get her out now."
Like, I was like, "Bro, out."
Yeah, it was crazy. But so what ended up happening was, we told her we would move her personally, because I've moved people in the past. I was like, "I can do this." And we had Corey, we had a couple of our guys.
I really
guys.
Didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
But Nate wanted to save some money.
I wanted to get the deal done.
Nate didn't want to pay yet.
Not yet. So what ended up happening was we told her we'd move her. After we closed, she's like, "Yo, I thought you said I could have some time." We're like, "Yeah, I'm really sorry, but the buyer we're working with, he wants you guys out. But don't worry, we're going to move you. Don't worry. Look, we'll take care of the move." So we show up in our moving clothes, like 8 a.m. Saturday morning. No, it might have been a Friday morning. And we knock on the door and they all come out. You know, they just woke up. It was like they weren't even ready for it. We're like, "We're ready to get you out of here."
They just partied the night before and were thinking about moving the next day.
None of the boxes were packed. We just.
I don't think they had boxes.
I think we went and bought boxes.
Went and bought a bunch of boxes.
But dude, have in mind, this is like a 1,200 square foot house stacked with garbage. Like, it's
horrible. The house wasn't as bad as the garage. It had plenty of stuff.
It was pretty bad, dude.
But it wasn't like the garage.
So what ended up happening is we had the boxes, started throwing stuff in there, and no one really wanted to touch anything because it was kind of like,
it's kind of like, do I pack this for them?
It was kind of gross in there too. No one was trying to like touch anything.
Trying to touch their clothes.
Yes. But anyway, we started putting stuff in there and like 5 or 6 hours go by and the 26-foot truck that we got was barely even.
We'd done like probably 5 feet.
Dude, and it was like, we're not movers and this sucked. Like, they were just standing around, like her 40-year-old son was just like chilling. He might have been eating some food. Like, no one was, they weren't really helping other than like watching us try to move their stuff. And we went out to eat.
I think we had been there for like 3-ish hours.
It was horrible.
Around lunchtime, we're like, this is not good.
So we ended up going, taking our guys out to lunch that were helping us, and they didn't really do shiz either. And we were like, "Bro, we cannot do this. This is just,
it's gonna take literally weeks.
This is going to take weeks of our time, and the buyer is breathing down our neck." So I ended up going on Facebook Marketplace, and I ended up finding like this moving company called like Inmates Moving Company. It was like Prison Yard Movers or something like that. It wasn't really called that, but it felt like that. So I call these guys, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll be there." So we're at the house moving. All of a sudden, these dudes pull up in like these vans, and these guys look like, I don't know what, like prisoners. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how to describe them, but they just busted out. They had like shaved heads, like tattoos everywhere. And they just, they're like, yeah, is this the house? And I'm like, yeah. These guys just literally went inside and started like
throwing
stuff into the truck.
Boxes, they were like throwing stuff in the truck.
They Tetrising it. They had one dude in there. It was just like, like just busting through stuff. And it was like a glorious sight. Like the light of heaven shone down on these guys. These guys saved our lives. Like they had packed this. What we had done in 3 hours, they were able to do in like 10, 15 minutes. These guys were amazing. You didn't even want to get in there. They had one guy that had like a limp. He was like limping around, but he was carrying like 400, felt like 400 pound boxes like with a limp. And I was like, how is that guy lifting that by himself? These guys were strong. They were strong. So anyway, these guys packed up the whole truck in a day. And then there was her garage that, you know, two car garage separate like from the house that needed to get packed.
Before that, after they finished packing that, you drove that down.
Yeah, we had to get another 26-foot truck because it took two 26-foot huge U-Haul trucks.
Yeah, I think they went and got that the next day.
They went and got that next
night. You drove the truck down. You had them pick up another.
Right, right.
You drove that down that night, and I was leaving for Christmas break the next day. Luckily, I was gone no matter what happened. So Nate drives the truck down to Price, and then I drive down and pick him up.
Yeah.
And we drive back that night, and then they went the next day.
Movers took care of it. Loaded up
all of the second truck with the stuff from the garage, which is pretty much all trash.
Oh, man.
Literally all trash.
It was like animal skins.
I know there were rats in there. Like, oh, God.
Dog turds, because the dog used to live in there. Oh, bad, dude. It's horrible.
I was not touching it.
But anyway, so they saved our lives. So what you're going to learn from our experience right there is never move someone personally, especially a hoarder.
Always
pay for it. It just,
like, it's worth paying for it. Like, spend like $1,000.
Yeah, it was totally worth it to pay someone instead of our time. I mean, what we lost out on deals, you know, who knows? Like,
we could have got a deal that day.
Yeah, so anyway, they got moved out. That got done. And then I remember to wrap this one up is it cost us a little bit more. We thought it was going to cost like $500, but it cost us like $1,000 or $1,500. So she had left like a little Indian lamp at the house. So I was like, hey, I got your Indian lamp. Can we meet? And, you know, maybe like it ended up costing us a little bit more. I tried to use the Indian lamp to be like, hey, let's meet. Cause you know, it costs us more to like, can you give us some money? And she was like, okay, fine. So we met, gave her the Indian lamp. She cut me a check for like $300 to help with the move. And I took them out. They were kind of like grog, like upset that we had moved them that quick.
Hold on before you finish that. That night before we drove the truck down there, she was upset.
Yeah, she didn't like being moved.
Actually,
that
might
quick.
Have even been the night before we moved. That was. I think it was the night before we moved them where we went to her house to like say, hey, like, we need to come move you.
Right.
She was like,
so mad.
So upset. We're like, you know what? I know this is hard. We'll buy you a pizza. We'll get you some dinner. Yeah. We'll get you some pizza. We go buy them Little Caesars pizza, some crazy crust, crazy bread, some 2 liters of soda, and bring it back. And it just calmed her down.
Oh, she was loving that cheesy bread.
Yeah, she was stoked on it.
Let me tell you something. Reciprocity, you know, like give, you know, help people. And I know that like we didn't navigate that one perfectly, right? Because we didn't know the buyer, but like try to give, right? Like we tried to move them. Of course, they're upset. We moved them quicker, but honestly,
she just had like attachment issues. I was like, she's sad to see it go.
Let me tell you something, dude. If it wasn't for us moving her out of there, she would have never left. Still be there. She probably would have just lost the house. She needed someone like us to get her out of there, really, because she wouldn't be able to get it done.
Now she's down in Price, Utah, happy as can
loving,
be.
Loving life, dude. Just running with the horses, running wild with you know, her son. He's probably gaming, having a great time, 45 years old, just not even caring in the world. But anyway.
I think they bought the house cash, right?
yeah, they bought the house cash, and she had, you know, enough cash. And on top of her Social Security, she's going to be chilling, you know, she's good. So I don't know if I said this, but I ended up buying a McDonald's when I went down there, and they were loving it, dude. So I hope they're good.
Hotcakes and sausage.
Yeah, McGriddle, bro. So, man, it was a crazy first half of the year. I know we've probably taken a lot of time to talk.
Yeah, it ended right before Christmas.
Ended up right for Christmas.
18th, 17th of December.
And honestly, guys, we got so many crazy experiences because we were in the thick of, you know, most of these deals, like trying to negotiate them. But, you know, now as we get, as we're doing virtual wholesaling, like we're not really meeting with sellers. We're not really that involved. But yeah, for
some crazy stories that you guys will hear about.
We got one. We'll talk about this one in the future episode. But we bought a house in California that had a squatter in it, and we didn't know it when we closed on it, and he wouldn't get out, and we had to go fly and kick him out. And the police came, and it was crazy. So don't buy a house with a squatter in it, by the way. So let's recap.
In California.
Yeah, they have rights apparently. So let's recap this call real quick, Corey. Me and you got into wholesaling. We're friends in college. You know, we started our business with $0, zero experience, knew nothing. We went to a broker to kind of help us out. He was new, but, you know, we actually split the business with him. Ended up, you know, as you know, in the next episode, we're going to talk about, we actually ended up separating because we didn't feel like he was pulling his weight. And then, you know, what else to recap?
I mean, we, you know, did four deals, five deals. Total that year for about $5,000.
Decent amount of money for us.
From May to December, which luckily we ended out strong, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, got him through cold calling, mailing, and flyers.
Don't move a hoarder.
Pay for it.
Especially.
Pay for it. Spend time working in and on your business.
Don't do that.
Yeah, like we're excited to share a story with you guys. You know, we're excited to help you guys out in any way you can. Like Nate said, this is brought to you by Investor Thrive. Visit us on our site, and you can, you know, learn how to engage with us more, and, you know, learn more on how to wholesale and how to grow your business, how to become better in your life, all that stuff.
Yeah, because guys, my goal, I mean, I love real estate. Real estate's fine. It's cool. But my goal is to, you know, help people, you know, be successful in their personal lives. You know, like a lot of people reach their dreams. Like something that's going to help you get there? Like a
pathway.
Yeah, this is like, for me, this is a pathway, right? Like I never wanted wholesaling was not my end goal. My goal is to, you know, I guess help people achieve their goals. Like that's what I want. So like Investor Thrive, like it's not just like, hey, how can you wholesale? We will teach you that, but we want to help you with your personal lives, you know, daily schedules, setting goals, monthly, weekly, daily. Like the way to get anything in life is through daily action. And a lot of people don't like do the things necessary to get what they want through daily, you know, action. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Check out Investor Thrive. Thanks for listening to our podcast, and, you know, tune in for more. If this is on YouTube, it will be on YouTube. Like and subscribe and hit the bell icon and just help us grow our reach. And, you
share it. If you think it's interesting or worth it, please share it.
Thanks for coming, guys. Peace out.